Sorry, we can't hear you.
Now, when it comes to the second part of the motion, we're having amendments, but we were in the middle of a motion. I don't believe Robert's rules allows that to happen. We have to vote this motion up and down.
We already did.
Not Lemur.
Director Artemis, let me clarify. The motion the Director Fasano put before us was to bifurcate the issue between Lamarck Park and Undercrown. Divide the question. That's all that was before. That was moved, seconded, and passed without objection. The motion that came before us then in the bifurcation piece was we voted on the undergrounding piece for Park Mesa. Okay? And that piece of Director Riley Thomas's motion was defeated. The next piece is Lamarck Park piece, and what Director Katz is doing at this point is offering an amendment as it relates to Director Riley Thomas's piece on Lamarck Park. The roll call was done, and this is all new now. This is to divide the question. This is on the Lamarck Park piece now. Okay? So if you...
30% is done?
Okay. If you would... If you want to do that, let's see if there's support.
Sure. My substitute motion is the following, and I think it's mostly up on the screen. It's the following. One... To include the Lamarck Park Vernon Station as a bid option during the construction procedure, i.e., bidders will propose prices for the following three options. All of this is designed to get this station. A, baseline project. One option that will be bid is the baseline project as adopted by the MTA Board, Item 9, December 10, 2009. B, the baseline project plus an unfinished station box at Lamarck Park Vernon that would allow a future subway station to be completed. C, the baseline project plus Lamarck Park Vernon underground station. Number two, we recommend the MTA Board approve a design build contract for A, the baseline project for Lamarck Park Vernon underground station if a responsible and responsive bid is received that is less than or equivalent to the $1.715 billion year of expenditure dollars. That's the adopted level in the 2009 long-range plan. B, if a responsible, B would be option B, if a responsible and responsive bid is received that is less than or equal to $1.715 billion year of expenditure dollars, and if the bid for option C exceeds the 1.75, then they build a baseline project plus the unfinished station box at Lamarck and Vernon. And then finally, these are options all designed to anticipate potential contingencies if the money's not available. So we make the commitment today that one way or another, we're going to build a Lamarck Park station. And C would be that if neither of the two options I mentioned can be built within the budget of 1.715 year of expenditure dollars, that we initiate a supplemental environmental analysis for an at-grade 48th Street station approximately 0.27 miles or two blocks south of Vernon in Lamarck Park and estimate the cost of the at-grade station, and B, recommend for board approval inclusion of the at-grade 48th Street station if non-MTA funding is identified, consistent with the board-approved policy that I believe was Supervisor Ridley Thomas's motion, directing the CEO to seek non-New Starts money for Crenshaw LAX line. So any other federal money except New Starts would be eligible for that. I know it's a lot, but what it does is it basically gives multiple options to ensure that a station is built that services Lamarck Park.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. If you any comments?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I appreciate the adjective that suggests that this is a friendly amendment. I don't interpret it in that way from the following vantage point. It simply lacks what's needed to send a clear message that we are going forth on Bemert Park. Perhaps we should try what I had originally suggested and therefore make it what it can be. If you want to use the language that is being proposed by way of substitute, I would put forward the following, that we proceed with include Leimert Park, Vernon Station in the base project during the construction procurement, that i.e. Bidders will propose prices for the following three options. Previous baseline project, previous baseline project plus an unfinished box at Leimert Park, and revised baseline project plus Leimert Park Vernon Underground. The second point that's made here then would need to be stricken. The third point would be to be stricken, and the second point, the new one, would be to review bids as they are in the process of being awarded.
Can you hand that out? Do you have a...
I just received the... Mr. Chairman, I just received the substitute motion, and what I'm essentially doing is trying to clean this up in the process, so there isn't a new the type version. I'm receiving this when presumably the balance of the board has received it. I'm glad to review it again if I
what would
require.
Well, I just think in all due respect, sir, yeah. I just think that, you know, we all did just receive the substitute motion, but it is, at least we could look at the language before we vote on it. I think it's important, if you want to change this, then we need to look at your language.
Right.
I mean, we just can't.
All right. And so I'm prepared to follow whatever procedure you would suggest in that regard. We can clean this up if you wish, Mr. Chair, but as it is, I cannot accept and will not support the substitute motion. We can better. Please hold on.
Okay,
we're trying to
if you
get.
Would like to, at this point, we have on the floor, and I recognize it, a substitute motion and a second. So, Robert Rule, we do have to take action on the substitute motion. If that is defeated, then you have the right to enter a substitute motion. Or if you wanted to enter a friendly amendment to the substitute motion, then I think we need to see the language for that.
I'm glad to provide the language. If we can get an email version of it, we will edit it accordingly and get it back to the chair and the board for their review. Glad to do that. And so if it means we need to table this matter until such is done, such time we can do that, that's fine. And I would so move. But I think we can close this gap.
I would speak in support of giving Mr. Ridley Thomas the respect of allowing him to put this in writing so that we can all look at it and decide whether or not it conforms with... So if we have to table it for a couple of minutes, it's just going to take a couple of minutes, right?
Right? But at this point, so that everyone's clear, what is on the table is a substitute motion. It's been moved and seconded. And we will take action on that. If it's a friendly amendment, then we can look at that and we'll take it. But we will take action on this motion prior to anything else. Wow.
We put on the table.
What I put on the table, I apologize to all of you, but... Okay, we're going to put on a table for 30 minutes. In the meantime, then, as a board, we're going to go back. It could be sooner, but it probably take a few minutes. As a board, then, we're going to put this item on the table. Let's go back to the consent calendar.
Move approval.
just, okay.
Second.
Hang on. I have a motion and second to approve the consent calendar with the following items. Item 6 and item 13 have been pulled for the regular agenda. Okay, without objections, so ordered. Okay? Is there an item that we can take that would move in a moment of time here?
17.
I'm not moving, just so you know, so you're clear. I'm not going to 13 or 6. at this particular point until such time we get this other issue out of the way, because I don't want to slow down that, okay? So. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I think we can go to item number two, the Villaraigosa, Du Bois, and Wilson motion as it relates to Interstate 405, the Hot Lane Corridor. That item is before us. Not sure whether we need a staff report at this point. Any member comment? We do have two people signed up for public comment. Diana Simmons, followed by Kim Juergen. Diana Simmons, are you here? I want to ask for your cooperation. Stay close if you're interested in that vote, because it may be less than 30 minutes. All right? Diana Simmons, Aaron Kim, Juergen, stay here. Okay? All right, they're not coming forward, so Director Du Bois, you want to move the item?
I move the item.
Director Wilson, you want a second?
Second.
Any objections? So ordered. Okay.
Say come back?
Phone waiting for me.
Question, what's the city of LA going to pay?
It's on right in the border of
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take up item number three. The Villaraigosa, Antonovich, Najarian, and Katz motion as it relates to the Duran Street crossing. I have no problem with the motion. I'm willing to look at it. The only caveat is that the report back that I think we do need to ask the question what portion the city of Los Angeles is going to pay to solve this problem. Okay? Just and the report back, okay?
Okay. But I would like to state for the record, Mr. Chair, this is one of the most dangerous rail crossings in the entire system. It is immediately adjacent to a propane distribution center, and we all know what happens when propane is exposed to a spark. It can be the source of an incredible explosion adjacent to freeways and a part of the city of LA which has no other ingress or egress except for one other small unimproved crossing. This comes from Prop C. And it will go a long way towards making the entire region safe. I understand. I'm not getting on you, Mr. Chair. I know you support it. I'm just, for the record.
For the record, and, I'm just asking the question. I'd like a part of the report back. Of what?
The city of LA and the city of Glendale has been working together, both at the city council level.
All right. Okay. Moved by Katz, seconded by Najarian. Without objection, so order. That takes care of item number three.
Oh, R3%. Okay, not Prop C. Sorry. R3%. I'm sorry, not Prop C.
The Metro R3% is a MetroLink piece of
right.
R, so it's coming out of MetroLink.
Right. Earmarked funds.
But it's a report back.
Still under consent, right? Okay, item 17. Katz, this is the item that you amended, and that's before us at the committee level. Item 17.
Real fast.
Recommendation is to approve as amended in the committee. This is where we recommend approval of AC and deletion of D and request the alternative language.
That's correct. This was having to, and Supervisor Antonovich had asked about third decade projects. This is on the, this is the policy on the contingency funds. And Supervisor, did you guys get what your answers or what you needed? Yeah, so okay, so we're, I think we're all in consensus okay. Now.
Director Fasana?
Yes, my only concern is I believe item B really should reference the Measure R expenditure plan rather than the long-range transportation plan. I think Measure R plan really highlights when the funding for these projects was to be available out of Measure R.
Okay, so, it be Measure R slash LRTP, or just should it just be Measure R?
I think it should be Measure R. This is related to the Measure R policy, so I would ask that as a friendly amendment.
Just want it.
Are we okay with that?
Art, just from your standpoint, David, I mean, we're talking about it's the Measure R contingency fund, correct? That we're talking to setting this policy for.
Yes, that's correct.
So it should be that part of the long-range plan that is in fact Measure R.
That's
well. Is that the language?
Workable.
Is that reflected?
The way this is written now is to measure these against the long-range plan schedule and cash flows supporting that plan.
Well, but okay, but you understand the question that Director Fasana is asking. If it's Measure R contingency money, should it be limited to the Measure R portion of the long-range plan? Because otherwise, it would be a shifting of Measure R dollars into the LRTP for non-Measure R.
This is limited to that Measure R portion of the long-range plan.
Okay, well, then that's what the director was asking for, and I'd accept a friendly amendment to clarify that to make sure.
Measure R expenditure plan.
Measure R expenditure plan, as contained in the long-range plan.
I'll second that.
All right, so the friendly amendment is to add Measure R contingency plan as reflected in the long-range transportation plan. Are we okay with that?
I have a Measure R expenditure.
Yes.
I believe this assumes that MTA will
Turn your mic on, please. No.
I believe this assumes that the MTA will receive 50% on federal funds for new starts. What if that doesn't happen?
This really isn't a new start piece.
Okay, so it doesn't...
This just applies to the contingency funds that are contained within
Measure R and how that would be...
So it's not gonna impact the debt service then?
There's no federal new starts, then those projects don't go forward.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman?
I think even in all the conversation we had about item one and all the others, as I said earlier, we're going to have to revisit a number of projects due to the state and federal issues and how they impact our match piece and Measure R. Yes?
The Measure R expenditure plan that's referred to in the amendment here would have a range to it of a three-year period. Are we choose the beginning of the range or the end of the range? There are questions that are raised by...
What would you recommend?
The end of the range.
And that would be?
For each project, it varies in the expenditure plan.
David, what... Okay.
But our recommendation is to use the long-range plan because it's a definitive way we can do these calculations.
But it's really a Measure R piece. As it relates to the long-range plan.
It's that portion of Measure R as it was laid out in the long-range plan.
Right. Okay, so I don't know that we need to deal with ranges other than to say as it relates to Measure R.
That's workable for us.
Okay.
And if there's a problem at some point, we'll so advise the board and we'll alert them for the issue.
Okay.
All right. So with that friendly amendment, any objections? Without objection, so ordered.
Public comment?
Is there someone on 17? I apologize. Yeah, Arnold Sachs, Dr. Clyde Williams. I'll move reconsideration, item 17, and then John Walsh.
Yes, thank you. Good afternoon. After that enlightening conversation regarding the Crenshaw line to come up with fiscal responsibility policy for the MTA board, Toto, I don't think this is Kansas anymore. Supervisor Oslowski talking about 2001 long-range transportation plan. How many projects were on the 2001 long-range transportation plan came within 50% of the budget on that 2001 Long Range Transportation Plan. What was the budget for the Crenshaw line at that time? The exposition line at that time, we didn't hear that budget because we know that it went from 300,000 to 600,000 to 890,000, boom, boom, boom. So fiscal responsibility coming from this board, whew, that's like the gold card program in the city of L.A. Nobody knows anything except the people who got their tickets dismissed.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. That's why you want the field clear. Dr. Clyde Williams, followed by John Walsh.
Dr. Clyde Williams, El Sereno, Northeast L.A. I fully support the diversion of 710 monies over to anything.
How did I know you were going to support Director Nugent?
Okay. On this one, you have two items, number 36 and 37, the 710. However, do you expect any savings? I don't know how savings can be generated when, if you look at all the items from 33 down to 39.
This is item 17.
So I would...
17.
It's one of the items in the item number.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the savings. Where are you going to get savings? And if you restrict it to Measure R, what happens if you get additional monies for the highway projects that are under budgeted, even with Measure R funds? Do those go back to some other contingency plan? So the question as to Measure R contingency plan funds versus others within these
That's
projects.
That's why we're trying to amend it to get inclusive there. Mr. Walsh?
John Walsh, blogging at HollywoodHighlands.org. Fiscal chaos is happening here. Let's take a look at the budget. This year, $300 million debt service. Next year, $344 million debt service. 2 years, two-thirds of $1 billion in debt service. When you bought Union Station, you had to pay cash because there wasn't a bank in America that would lend them money because of how bad their debt service is. Check it out. But I want to tell you that if it's really that bad, I'm willing to give you $50 right now. Put it right there.
Hey, John, your money's no good here, man. Take it back, buddy. All right.
You need it.
Oh, We don't need it. No. John, come on. John. All right. Been moved, seconded.
Mr. Chairman, just to clarify, this does apply to all Measure R projects.
What was the clarification?
Just that this does apply to all Measure R projects.
Right. Very good. Okay. Without objection, so ordered. Item 18.
I'll move approval of this item.
Okay. Chair, I'll second. There was an issue here, I believe, that needed some clarification. Mr. Katz, did you want on item 18? Or are you okay with it?
Okay.
All right. Okay. Moved. Seconded. Yes.
I'm sorry. This goes back to that
item that there was some confusion when it was presented at the committee about the RFP that was issued. Right. If I remember, that was the B portion of it. Did we sort that out, Terry?
Yes. That item is coming back next month.
I can't hear him.
That item is coming back next month through committee.
Remember, we kicked it out, brought it back.
But the other piece of that was an RFP issued previous to board authority.
The RFP was rescinded day.
I appreciate it was rescinded. How did it get out in the first place if it hadn't cleared a committee and hadn't cleared the board? What's the RFP for? That's the part I don't get.
Typically, the issuance of bid documents, we don't normally come to the board to issue the bid document. We do come back to the board, of course, to recommend an award.
Okay, I got that part, but
we were trying to
save time.
Yes, to get back to the July cycle. But,
okay. All right, but it's coming back to the committee next month.
It'll come back in July.
Okay, it's moved, seconded, without objection, so ordered. Item 19. This is on the issue of the rollback of the regular day pass.
Yeah, this is rolling back the regular day pass from $6 to $5 for a period of 1 year. Staff presented a nine-month proposal. It was extended to a year in the committee meeting. And it basically reduces the price. Oh, and the staff will come back to the board with a full report of the results in 6 months.
Okay.
This will be effective August 1.
Yes.
Okay. Sure. Been moved and seconded. Public comment, John Walsh, Kimberly Richards, and Arnold Sachs.
Yeah, my vote.
John? Kimberly? Then Arnold?
Somewhere. John's coming.
Well, go ahead if you're there.
I miss this old three-ring circus style of board meeting. We haven't done it this way in a long time. Directors, I very wholeheartedly support this as a means of making our service more affordable to our customers during difficult financial times, as well as potentially bringing new passengers into the system. However, an issue that was raised at committee, which I listened to on the Squawk Box last week, we still do not have a rational way of selling a day pass on a bus. And Director Yaroslavsky brought that up in committee. At the same time, this agency has been moving. We've been moving toward getting a paper type of a smart card, a tap card. I don't see any reason why we could not use the paper tap card on the bus. I realize there were security issues in the past, but since a tap card is worthless until activated by the fare box and the fare box has a transaction of what operator was on duty, I don't see a security issue, and I'd like to see the paper tap card as part of this action.
Thank you. John Walsh and then Arnold Sachs.
This is a terrible idea, and I'll tell you why. First of all, your ridership is not only down on the bus, but year over year, in March, your ridership is down on the rail, even though gas is skyrocketing. A day pass is a sample. So anybody who takes a sample of the service is never going to buy a monthly pass because they realize how terrible the service is. So if you want people to sample them, make them pay for a month. Then they'll be stuck with a month. Because nothing is worse than the service. And for $5, you'll never get those people back. HollywoodHighlands.org.
Thank you. Mr. Sachs?
Yes, thank you again, Arnold Sachs. Thank you for studying this idea of lowering the day pass. But did you also study, because we've heard numerous conversations about the attempts to capture more money at the fare box, did you study the idea of lowering the monthly pass? Because people would buy a monthly pass at $70 or $65 would give you 60. If you increase the number of monthly passes you sell, then you'd be increasing the fare box revenue by $60 instead of one day's fare. So has there study been done on lowering the monthly pass? You know, if you go to Subway or you go to Quizno, they have sales where all the sandwiches are $5. So if you buy an $8 sandwich, you want an $8 sandwich, it's $5. And if you want a $3 sandwich, it's $5. Why are they doing that? Because they sell more sandwiches at $5 than if they sell them only at $8. So has a study been done again on lowering the monthly pass down to affordable limits?
Thank you.
There's also two other points I'd like to make on the program. One
Get closer to the mic, please.
Oh, sorry, there's two other points I want to make on the program. And one is the plan is to provide the $5 discount for those who have tap cards, and if they do not have a tap card, we'll make them available on the bus, and the price for that will be $6, which is what the current rate is today. And it's also the plan to make sure that all this happens in concert with each other, so everything happens at the same time, so that the passes will be available at the same time we...
What about the paper issue that Kimberly raised?
The paper issue would delay the process, and we're not really prepared to do that yet. There's a lot of issues with that. So we came up with an alternative program, which is the $5 and $6.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Any further questions? Yes, Seb?
Make sure, just to clarify, it's going to be a $1
a $6 tap card, right, on the bus.
Yes.
And you're not going to roll this program out until you have that in place.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, without objection, so ordered. Next is item 20 on the B845. Is there any public comment on item 20? Dr. Clyde Williams, Arnold Sachs.
Dr. Clyde Williams, Hales, Reno. This also references develop a statewide strategy and associated list of projects for doing this work to support the high-speed rail. Is this just another way of getting local money? I don't know. I thought the high-speed rail monies went for high-speed rail. The more interconnectivity, the more common use of track will slow it down. It's already going very slow. So I'd highly recommend that you support, but you need to negotiate with the author of the bill. Thank you.
Oh, no, let him go ahead. Okay, Mr. Sachs.
Yes, thank you. Boy, I've kind of been waiting for this one. Because this, back to my letter that I received, where state legislation, people are wondering where the funds go or how to get funds. Another codified state law, and I've mentioned numerous times, who gives a rat's patoot? You've shown with the action taken by the Blue Line Construction Authority, where you've changed the construction authority name, you've changed the destination, you've altered state law, you made a motion, Supervisor Molina, to give $640 million to the Blue Line Construction Authority, yet it was granted to the Gold Line Construction Authority, which was changed to the L.A. to Pasadena Gold Line Construction Authority, all in the name of legalization. What was that you said, Mr. Ridley Thomas? There's no crooks up here? No convicted crooks up there. There's a big difference.
All right. Very good. That's very nice.
But codifying state law, who cares?
Thank you.
Do what you're going to do.
Thank you, Mr. Sachs.
That's where your money goes, by the way.
Item 21.
Pay close attention.
Is rejecting all bids and going out to a re-procurement.
Move it. Second.
Move and second without objection. So ordered. Okay. All right. Move reconsideration. Is this item 2.1 or item 21? It says something about Mark Ridley Thomas. All right. Craig Doerr and Oscar Owens, Jr.
Honorable Chair and Board, my name is Craig Doerr. I'm with American Reclamation. This is directly affecting us. We were actually awarded the lowest responsible bidder for this contract. Our legal counsel has delivered letters to all of you, and this is dealing with their objection to the rebid for the contract. The objection is based on a retroactive change of a long-established written bid procedures, which are governed to all bidders. The prior findings of the MTA, which denied the improper document request of Waste Resources, they requested actually to see our records after the bid process had started. And according to your policy and the policy that's been in place for a long time, that was against the rules. Prior to the bid for this contract, Waste Resources requested certain documents which violated your written procedures. And the protest of Waste Resource was therefore properly denied with a statement by the MTA that the procurement policies of the MTA prohibited the disclosure of the particular records.
Okay. You want to wrap it up? Our counsel will be responding to your letter.
Yeah, I know it, but it directly affects us, and we beg you to reconsider giving us the award. It was awarded to us twice by the MTA.
Thank you. Okay, counsel, want to respond? You're going to respond to them directly, right, to their letter?
Yeah, I can also respond now.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, the documents that were requested should have been produced under the public. The documents that were requested should have been produced under the Public Records Act, and on that basis, you know, we can't establish that the protester was not prejudiced.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. The protester was the.
Talk into the mic, please.
The protester was the second low bidder, and the recommended bidder, American Reclamation, was the current contractor on this contract. So the second low bidder requested copies of the current contract during the bid process. There was an MTA procedure or policy that prohibited giving out historical information during the bid. The second low bidder claimed that the low bidder, because the low bidder was the current contractor, you know, was privy to the prices, you know, the in effect prices, because he was the contractor. As a result of that, he wanted to level the playing field. The second low bidder wanted to get a copy of the current contract. The MTA did not produce that. It was something that should have been produced under the Public Records Act. The second low bidder claimed that because he didn't get that information, he was prejudiced.
Okay. All right. Second, without objection, so ordered. Excuse me. Oscar Owens, are you here as it relates to this? Okay. All right. Objection, so ordered.
No, I know it.
Do we have that motion yet?
Seen them, yeah.
Yeah.
Don't get me jealous. I'm happy enough with life.
No, item 22 is we have yet to deal with it.
Can I ask a question of parliamentary procedure on that? That just comes on that item 22. It's come before us and lost. How can it be coming on the agenda on a regular basis every single
time? Put your mic on, please, Gloria. The question is, on item 22, from a parliamentary procedure standpoint, it's been rejected before. How can it keep coming back?
It was requested by a board office to bring it back. I think last time it neither passed nor failed. There was not enough votes. There was no majority.
That means it failed. It's like anything else. If it doesn't have enough votes, it doesn't pass. You can't assume that you have to wait until you get enough votes to get it passed.
But did we have a quorum?
Yes, there was a quorum.
Yeah. You know, what? Too many people conflicted out?
How could you have been conflicted out? There said there was a quorum.
There was a quorum.
People here, I think.
There was enough people. So you can't be bringing it back until you get the votes. That's not appropriate under Robert's rules.
Request to bring it back, so therefore we'll put it on the agenda. At the time, I had said...
There was a request by a member to put it on the agenda. I have no idea.
I requested to bring it back.
Not goddamn wrong.
On your far left, Gloria.
Yeah, right. He just remembered all of a sudden that he decided. Were you on the prevailing side?
I don't recall at this point. This abuse is getting out of hand here.
My good friend John doesn't remember if he was here or not.
I was here. But I don't recall which side I was on the boat. I think there are like 8 people here.
All right, so...
Just to the will of the board.
Okay, so the item's before us then. So, I mean...
Is it before us?
Yeah.
I don't think that legally it can be. Is
if
it?
A member requests it, I mean, I'll defer to counsel, you know.
Right, a member requested it.
I understand.
You have to... When you ask for reconsideration of an item, okay, because it failed.
Did it fail on 7 votes? Did it fail on 7 votes?
No.
But was it 7-1?
Something like
correct.
That.
So it wasn't a clear majority.
Correct.
I mean, you needed 7 votes up or down, right?
That's not the way Robert's rules work.
All right, go ahead. Give me a ruling, okay?
I
could care less.
The question, sir.
Okay, yeah. It was requested by a board member. It's within the discretion of the chair to hear the item.
Right.
You want to vote on whether you want to consider it or not? Is that what you want to do? Do you even want to consider it? I mean, I've got 25 items and 2 big ones left.
I appreciate that.
Chairman. I just think, again, the last thing, this is an issue that's been bouncing around. I think there's a tremendous amount of conflict. This man wants his money, and it's peanuts compared to the billions we're dealing with in the next item. But the point is that I really think you need to honor Robert's Rules of Order and not make it up, even though my dear friend John and...
All right, we will search throughout and Google Robert's Rules and decide whether or not this can come back. Wait a minute. Whether it can come back on next month's agenda. Research that and give us a specific...
We'll do that.
Okay. And whether it failed...
Whether failed or you know, if it failed, then I think she may be correct. If it didn't, you know, if it wasn't the whatever the reason was, just look at it and bring it back next month, okay?
I'll do that.
You're welcome. I mean, my pleasure. It's always a pleasure to do business.
To the way.
All right. Of course you were. But the point is it.
All right, we are going back to item number one. All right, we're not going back to item number one. We'll be shortly. Everybody, we just got the amended motion, so we are going to review that and have the various members look at that item.
Are we going to see copies of it?
Maybe. Yeah, we'll get you some copies. All right, I have an idea. Let's take item 24. You know, nominees for membership in the San Fernando Valley Service Council?
Recommendation.
Second.
Any Robert's Rules issues here? So ordered.
Cats lives in
the... All right. Item number 23. I think Mr. Wilson wanted to raise the issue before. That as it relates to escalator maintenance and repair service. I'm prepared to move the item. We do have a staff report, but I want to make sure that Mr. Director Wilson's concerns were... Okay? Director Wilson,
thank
then
you,
Director
Chair.
Najarian.
Mr. Chair, thank you. I was told by our staff that at this point the agency has employees who are on light duty. We're going out to take a look at our system on a very frequent basis to determine whether these elevators and escalators are operating properly or not. And I also was told that the Sheriff Department will play a role in helping to identify these systems and whether they're operating or not. Can you speak to those issues?
I'll speak to the John Roberts. I'll speak to the issue about our light duty, our transitional duty. We trained six of our operators who are on transitional duty to go out, inspect, and restart if necessary, and then call the appropriate people if they were unable to start. We've been averaging 200 to 400 instances a day. We've done, since the time we've instituted this, we've done 6,000. And we have found about an average about 3.4% or on any given day. It's gotten better. We've had days when we've had 4 or 5 instances of the 300 or 400 that were checked.
Is this a part of our standard policy now, or is this light duty observation, is this something that's going to go away after this issue goes away?
I think as of right now, it's worked out very well, and it's very productive for our transitional duty folks to be doing this. So for the foreseeable future, I would venture to say we're going to continue to do it.
And we do it at no cost. No cost.
No cost. And then our light duty personnel, they rotate in and out, so we'll have an ongoing training program, and we'll try and keep it about 6 or so folks at any one particular time.
And Commander Giordo, is there someone here to speak to the Sheriff Department's role in this?
Well, I can speak to what the Commander and I have been speaking about. We have communicated per the Commander. The Sheriff's Security Assistance and Metro Security Sweep Team will be equipped with keys to restart the escalators. 100 sets of escalator keys are made at this moment, and the training for restarts is going to start this week, tomorrow. Deputies have also been briefed to contact the ROC regarding escalators that are not working.
Yes. Mr. Chair, thank you very much, and staff, thank you.
Well, I think it was a valid point you brought to consider. I mean, the one thing we did find out, it's really not a maintenance issue more than a vandalism issue, and we just have to be prepared to restart. And that takes a training process. And with that, Mr. Najarian, please, microphone, please.
Mr. Chair, I don't know if the rest of the board members saw the photos that accompany this report, but I am absolutely appalled and shocked at some of the conditions in those elevators. People sleeping in them, urine to the extent that it's corroded the metal support. Absolutely disgusting, and I would like, let's try and take some preventative measures. This is it's absolutely not acceptable for me. I'm ashamed to see those photos as part of our system.
Yes, I agree. Last month I've been telling you that we have more than $1 billion of deferred maintenance in the budget. We talk about station cleanliness, facility cleanliness, vehicle cleanliness. It's all this exact issue. We need to be out there with sharp eyes. We need to maintain the system properly in a condition of good order and good repair and good cleanliness. That's not what we have today, but we're going to get there.
Thank you. Okay, it's been moved. And second, we do have some public. Kimberly Richards. Arnold Sachs. John Walsh.
Yes, thank you again, Arnold Sachs. Again, here's my concerns. This is a five-year firm fixed-rate contract, inclusive of two extensions. So again, I ask, is it five? If it's a five-year fixed contract, then it doesn't include two extensions. But that being said, item number six talks about a contract for the third year of a five-year contract at $16 million. So why isn't there not a fixed firm contract for the construction management support services, which has gone from $21,500,000 to $37,500,000? Or is that more of Metro's fiscal responsibility?
John Walsh, blogging at Hollywood Highlands, HIGHLANDS.org. Over 54,000 successful server requests a week. Yes, we the public do use your elevators as restrooms. You didn't put any restrooms in there, and when you gotta go, you gotta go. And believe me, it actually improves. Are using those escalators, the urine actually improves it. I mean, I'm telling you right now, $1 billion in deferred maintenance. $1 billion in deferred maintenance. And I want to tell you on behalf of everyone who has to put up with these filthy stations, when it comes to urine, we go with the flow.
Wow. 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 John is appearing on Leno tonight. Here we go. Yeah. Item number six, Director Najarian, you pulled that item?
Yes, I did.
I did pull it, Mr. Chair. I do have a motion. It should be on the screen, hopefully. And I guess the basis of this are some of the advantages and savings that we have realized in another agency that I serve on, that is the Metrolink, where midterm or upon the extension of contracts, we have gone back to the contractor and sat down with them and tried to identify additional savings that are available. Much of the time that is done through mutual agreement, and it results in a win-win. The contractor is able to maintain the contract at a slightly lesser cost, but the home agency receives savings during a time of critical financial funding difficulties. So my motion essentially is to direct staff and the CEO to review the current contract extension to Stantec prior to the award, and where appropriate, renegotiate existing rates and expenses and report back to the board with the findings.
Exactly.
So your motion basically then is to direct the staff to review the current contract prior to the award, and then come back to the board with the finding?
Come back. Let's sharpen our pencils and see what we can do.
I will second Director Najarian's substitute motion. Are there any objections? Without objection, so ordered. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Oh, public comment. Arnold Sachs. I shouldn't have known. Arnold, I apologize. Reconsider.
It's not approved.
Thank you again, Arnold Sachs. Last month, you approved two construction management support service contracts, one for bus facilities and another one. I don't have that agenda, but there was two of them. You have the Expo construction line. You have, L.A. to Pasadena Blue Line Construction Authority or the L.A. to Pasadena Gold Line Construction Authority. So this company, Stantec Consulting, what are they managing? What construction are they managing? Is it the freeway work? What other projects do you have going right now that they would be managing that would cost $37.5 million? I mean, trying to think. Help me out. I mean, I'd appreciate just a little kick in the butt that tells me what project these people... Maybe it's a downtown connector, the $1.2 billion project. Mr. Miles, you mentioned the question, you were asking questions regarding the blue line and the gold line. The gold line was the blue line.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Without objection, so ordered. All right. Okay. Please reflect your conflict, okay? With those two conflicts noted, so ordered. Mr. Art, is there any? Can we move to the safe agenda while we're waiting for this motion to come back? Which is a
no problem.
Okay. We are moving from the Metro agenda to our Los Angeles County Service Authority for Freeway Emergency Safe regular meeting. And I'll take a motion to approve the minutes.
Second.
Chair, second without objection. So order. Now, item number 2 and 3.
Yes, Mr. Chair, item number 2 is to adopt the fiscal year 11 budget in the amount of...
Wrong item. Item number 2 is to execute the agreement with MTA funding for a 2-year time frame to provide an amount not to exceed $4 million for the Express Plains demonstration project.
Move.
Let me have a question.
Question? Director Antonovich.
Sorry.
Just to take existing freeway lanes for toll, or this would be to create new freeway lanes or HOV lanes?
This item is related to the existing demonstration program that we have on the 10 and the 110 freeway.
Existing HOV lanes and make those a toll.
In the case of the 10, we're taking a single lane HOV and we're adding 2-lane HOVs. We're making 2 HOV lanes in each direction out of it.
Still going to take an existing lane to make it a toll road.
On the 110, there are 2 existing lanes and those are being converted.
I have no opposition to using new lanes for toll lanes, but to use an existing lane and convert it to a toll, I would be opposed to that. So I'd like to vote no on that, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to move the item recognizing that people that ride for free in the lanes will continue to be able to do so if they meet the existing criteria.
That is correct, sir.
Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
So if you, under the existing criteria, you can still go into the...
Yeah, the demonstration lane
program. If you qualify to ride in those lanes today as a carpooler or HOVer, you will continue to be allowed to do so for free, for the, well, same price free.
Okay. All right. Been moved. Second. Seconded by Director O'Connor. Any objection? You still object? Okay. And okay. With one objection, and I think we better table this because I want to abstain on it because I have an issue with that as well. So we may need to put this on the table until we get more votes.
Where is everybody?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, this...
Can we get the other members back, please?
Yeah, this item is not for the Express Lanes Demonstration Project vote itself. That's a separate vote of the board. This is merely authorizing an agreement that would provide support for the demonstration program. The demonstration program itself was passed by the board quite some time ago.
Okay, so this is the one that's already taken. We've already voted against it. All right, so with that, I'll vote for it then, okay? With the one objection noted, so ordered.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Item 3 is to adopt the fiscal year 2011-2012 budget in the amount of $50,970,445 for the SAFE program for the items listed in the budget. And I might have Mr. Coleman with me if there's any questions.
I'll move item 3.
Second.
Move and second. And I would just add, this is a pretty big number, but I want to tell you, I get more letters and emails from stranded folks on the freeways about this service than about anything we do here. Our operators, you know, I know we put them out to bid and it's always controversial, but they, so far so good. I mean, they continue to do a good job out there and it really expedites SIG alerts and everything else. So, anyway, without objection, so ordered. Public comment on the SAFE agenda? We have anybody? Okay. The SAFE is formally adjourned. All right. What do we have left on the regular agenda besides the budget? Before I get into the budget, I want to move this other item out of here, so I don't know where it's at.
It's still working.
All right, then. What do I have left?
Slow first.
What item is that? Wilshire BRT, we can go with that. Huh? We'll start that. Item number 13. Okay, and those of you that are here for item number 13, just so you know, once I get the amended motion back, we're going to revert back to item 1, so I will stop item 13 to go back to item 1, just so we're clear, so nobody yells at me. Everybody understand? Everybody understand? My colleagues?
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Weezer. I saw that smile. All right. Here we go. Staff report, item number 13.
Afternoon, Mr. Chair, board members.
Good evening. Oh, it's still afternoon?
We did make a staff presentation at committee, but I'll keep it.
Get that microphone a little bit closer or get closer to it. We need to hear you loud and clear.
I'm Brad McAllister, Executive Officer of Long Range Planning. With me is Martha Butler, and we also have representatives of LADOT here to answer questions. Just a quick summary. We're seeking board approval of the board report recommendations A through C for the revised FEIR EA for the Wilshire BRT. In December, the board asked us to include an alternative into the report, removing a one-mile segment of the project from Selby to Comstock, which is east of Westwood. We've added that as an alternative. City Council also asked us to include an alternative having the bus lanes only east of Beverly Hills, and that's included in the FEIR at this time as well. So both alternatives are included. In planning and programming, the committee approved the staff recommendation, which was the project minus the one-mile Selby to Comstock segment, and that's known as Alternative A. We are under a tight deadline, and we know we have interested public here today, but upon approval today, the FEIR will go to the city and county for approval, hopefully in early June, and we do need to have an executed grant agreement with FTA by mid-September. September. We have a longer presentation that we made to committee. Due to the time, we'll defer it today, but we'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Are there any questions, staff, prior to going into public comment?
Okay. I need to get my staff here for a second. Hang on.
If you can just hide it, if you just hide it, so hit escape, and then the hidden button, yeah, there you go.
Okay.
Okay, so what's going on?
By me?
All these?
Can I ask a question while we're waiting, Mr. Chair of Staff? And that is, what did the LA City Council adopt and what is being proposed or recommended here today by staff?
City Council hasn't taken an action on the project. And early in the year, they passed a motion asking us to consider an alternative. They didn't approve it as a recommendation, but asked us to consider that. And that alternative was to have the bus lanes only east of Beverly Hills. So basically from the Beverly Hills city limit out close to downtown Los Angeles. Funding for the project still is end-to-end, but more money is put into transportation priority, but the bus lane was reduced to about a 5.4-mile segment in that alternative. So that alternative has been included in the environmental document and, in essence, is cleared. Staff recommendation is to do the project just minus the one-mile segment, and that's what's for your consideration here today. So City Council actually will hear this, we would hope, in early June and make their approval of the project at that time.
And what happens if City Council comes up with something different from
comes
what
back here.
MTA adopts
or then
proposes, recommends?
If City Council adopts a different alternative, then we would bring that alternative back to the Metro Board as soon as we can, hopefully the June or July meeting. And both the City Council and MTA Board need to ultimately agree on the same project. So if City Council picks a different alternative, we would report that back to the Metro Board, and then the Metro Board could, in essence, determine whether it agrees with that or not. In order to get funding, both Metro Board and City Council need to approve the same project ultimately.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, we're going to go to public comment. Jay Greenstein, followed by Paul Backstrom, followed by Hernan Vera. First three. Okay. Who's here? Who are you?
I'm Paul Backstrom. I believe Jay Greenstein may have left already. Good afternoon, honorable board members. Paul Backstrom on behalf of Council Member Bill Rosendahl here today to speak in support of Alternative A2, a 5.4-mile bus lane project. The councilman believes that Alternative A2 provides the best opportunity to bring progressive transportation reform to this region, secure full federal funding, and build a project that will inform future project segments on the Wilshire Corridor and beyond. The councilman urges you to reject the staff recommendation, which adds a 2.3-mile stretch of fragmented bus lanes project separated from the core of the project by over 4 miles that will not incentivize commuters to switch modes and exacerbate an already horrific traffic situation on the Wilshire Corridor. According to the analysis contained in your staff report, travel speeds are already as low as 4 to 5 miles per hour in the Wilshire Corridor. The travel speed data also suggests that motorists are traveling to the 405 freeway and not continuing along this corridor. If you're going to compound an already bad traffic situation, commuters should be provided a reasonable alternative mode of transportation, not simply be made to suffer to increase bus speed.
Thank you very much. Tell the council member hello. Hernan Vera.
My name is Serena Lynn, and I'm here speaking on behalf of Hernan Vera for Public Council. For over 40 years...
I was just going to call you next.
Oh, well, thank you. May I speak? Public Council has defended civil rights of working families, vulnerable children, immigrants, and communities of color. This bus-only lane is for everyone, students, workers, West Side commuters. Every year, we also represent hundreds of veterans who are returning from Iraq and Afghanistan. These vets need to go to VA to access medical and other social services. Many of these vets need the bus to go to the Veterans Administration, and we've seen many vets who miss appointments again and again because of delays. Our vets deserve better. We would love to see the full bus-only lane go forward, but we don't oppose Alternative 1. What we do oppose is the 40% exemption of the West Side. In our view, it would raise significant civil rights concerns related to disability access, and it would put in jeopardy the entirety of the federal funding of this project. Therefore, as we said to KPCC yesterday, the 720 line isn't just transportation, it's a lifeline from Skid Row to Hope.
Thank you
very much.
Hillary Norton, followed by Jerry Brown, followed by Steven Resnick. Are they here?
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Hillary Norton, and I'm the executive director of Fast Fixing Angelenos Stuck in Traffic, and we're here to support Alternative A1 because we believe that this is the best, longest road that we can do for the BRT that's going to also include as much of the west side as possible. But 720 is not just a lifeline from Hope to all the other things we're going for. It's also a lifeline to education. And we need to continue to support students who are taking this line from UCLA to downtown to try to get to jobs, internships, and even to get to school with tuition increases. If we don't start supporting our students, they're going to have to make choices between operating a car and going to school. We need to support this BRT and make it as long as possible. And we thank you for your deliberation up to now.
Thank you. Mr. Brown, followed by Steven Resnick, followed by Tracy W. something from the Diplomat Condominium. I can't read the last name. I apologize. Yes,
I'm
sir.
I'm Jerry Brown. I would urge you to enact support for any route of the BRT which does not worsen the already terrible traffic situation in West Los Angeles. Certainly that would encompass A1. And I think inclusion of the extension A2, which would limit the bus lane to east of La Cienega, makes a great deal of sense. There is a catastrophic traffic situation near the 405 freeway, including the Brentwood portion, which is being contemplated. And the addition of a bus-only lane there would make matters only gravely worse. Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry. Steven Resnick, followed by Tracy W. I can't. Sandy Brown. Sandy here. Ryan Lehman. Steven Taylor.
Good afternoon. I'm Sandy Brown, and I'm here on behalf of the Westwood Coalition. I apologize. There were some people here to testify who have had to leave to go to other meetings.
I apologize, too. So.
But we do support the A1 leaving out the Westwood segment for many reasons. This is the only residential segment of the BRT route. And there are 56 driveways along this route where people live in these high-rise developments. Thousands of people needing to make turns into and out of their where they live. So I would appreciate if you would all support the A1 segment, and thank you for your deliberations up to this point.
Thank you, Sandy, and I too apologize for the delay, but we just got a long agenda today and we're trying to do the best we can. Brian Lehman, Stephanie Taylor. You didn't look like a Steven, so I don't know. Sorry. Apologize. Bifocals are dirty. Go ahead, sir.
All right. Good afternoon. My name is Ryan Lehman, and I'm an urban planner and the co-chair of the Green LA Coalition Transportation Workgroup. Green LA has been a longtime supporter of the Wilshire Bus Rapid Transit Project, and I now urge you to approve the 8.7-mile project as proposed in Alternative A, although I should say that we don't oppose the alternate A1 option. Others have provided many reasons to support the full project. Out of the respect for your time, I want to focus on a big picture reason to build the full 8.7 miles. This has to do, we are currently experiencing a cultural shift with respect to cities and transportation. There is evidence that the next generation is increasingly using alternatives to the automobile to get around. There's a number of reasons for this, including the desire to live in compact, walkable communities, and other priorities of how they want to use their money. But the result of this is that cities which enhance alternatives to the automobile will be more successfully economically in the long term.
Thank you. Stephanie Taylor, again, I apologize, Stephanie. Gerard Wright, followed by Luis Cabrales. Sorry. Stephanie?
Yes, good afternoon. I'm Stephanie Taylor from the Green LA Coalition, and I'm here to speak on behalf of the coalition. And some of the members that aren't here today include NRDC, the Los Angeles Bicycle Coalition, Communities for a Better Environment, Los Angeles Walks Environment Now, the Taxi Workers Alliance, Heal the Bay Tree People, Urban Samias, and others. We support the full implementation of the bus-only lane for the following reasons. Bus-only lanes are a critical component to a successful public transportation system, which I might add is a less expensive option that we so desperately need for the region. To cutting the project to 5.4 miles will likely set up the project for failure by excluding the most congested parts of the region. And three, the EIR stated the full project will get at least an additional 10% of drivers to take transit on the corridor, removing 10,000 tons of pollutants annually. And then four, the proposals to remove or exempt any section of the west side runs contrary to the professional opinions of the
Thank
DOT.
Just a reminder to everyone, if you have written testimony and you run out of time, you can submit that for the record. So, Gerard Wright, Luis Cabrales, Morgan Wynn.
Good afternoon. Can the board hear me? And the audience, can you hear me? Okay, good. Very good. Just want to make sure the mics are working. Gerard Wright, transportation co-chair of Angeles Chapter of Sierra Club. We want to give our support to staff recommendation of alternative A1. We recognize that the western portion of the proposed between Brentwood and Condo Canyon has some consternation, but we must note that this is not the same condition. Traffic flows reasonably well in Condo Canyon. The BRT's new eastbound dedicated lane from Barrington to the 405 will improve traffic for automobiles by getting the buses and other vehicles out of the way. This benefit would be lost to those same 405 commuters if we cut projects short. And in addition, the bus lanes west of the Westwood VA station will be very important to serve Purple Line subway riders going to and from farther west in the future if we're thinking long term in relation to Measure R. Thank you very much, and y'all have a pleasant day.
Hey, thank you, Gerard. Luis, is Luis here? Morgan?
Hi, Luis had to go to another meeting. My name is Morgan Wyan. I'm an attorney with the NRDC, the Natural Resources Defense Council, and I'm here to speak in support of Alternative A or Alternative A1. We all know that we need to get as many people out of their cars and into public transit as quickly as possible to reduce the smog and greenhouse gas emissions from all of our city's cars. So, of course, NRDC accordingly supports the alternative of this project that will make the bus a more attractive option for more people by making it faster and more reliable. So, of course, we accordingly support alternative A or even A1 that would make the bus 10 to 15 more minutes faster than the current ride. And we accordingly have to oppose the 5.4 mile option because it would not bring the same benefits. Thank you.
Thank you, Morgan. Eric Ramon, Sun Young Yang, Joanna Gaspar.
Good morning, board members. Eric Roman from the Bus Riders Union, speaking in support of option A, the 8.7 mile option. Just a couple of quick notes about the potential implications of cutting the project down to $5.4 million. 5.4 miles. Pardon me. We've worked hard along with this agency and members of Congress to secure $23.3 million in funding. It would send a very dangerous, it would be a very bad message to send both to voters, residents of the city and the county who are suffering from economic crisis, as well as members of Congress, to choose to cut down a project that's already got committed federal funding and send back as much as $10 million. Now, staff has mentioned the possibility of being of keeping that money, but the truth is that the FTA has made no formal commitment that it would allow the agency and the city to keep $23 million if the project is cut down to 5.4 miles. Therefore, we strongly urge this agency to move forward today with this project in its largest form as possible. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Yang, followed by Joanna Gaspar, followed by, I believe it's Kevin Ramos.
Good afternoon, board. Sun Young Yang with the Bus Riders Union. I'm here today as well to urge this board adopt the most comprehensive project possible. We still believe that project alternative the 8.7 mile project is the best alternative to adopt. And we would also like to say that this board also rejects the 5.4 mile alternative, which will cut out 40% of the project and essentially take out the most effective component of the project down. We have several concerns around this project setting a political precedent for future bus lane projects, as well as the possibility of the city of Santa Monica or Beverly Hills or any portion that hasn't been implemented to have a bus lane in the future. So I encourage you once again that to adopt the full project. And we also believe that at the city council too, Councilmember Rosendahl is a minority of among the city council when wanting the 5.4. We've spoke with a lot of council members, and they've also supported for the full project. So we hope that the MTA moves forward today. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Joanna, Kevin Ramos, Oscar Sanchez.
Hi, my name is Joanna Gaspar, member of the Bus Riders Union. We urge you to reject the alternative 5.4 mile for the wheelchair bus only lane. As a student, I depend on buses. I've seen students from UCLA, University High School, and the ones who are from Santa Monica use this bus every day and every morning to get to school on time. Many of them live by the Westlake McCartan Park area, and they have to get up really early in the morning to travel 2 hours to get to school. And this lane is not only beneficial for the students, but also for workers, parents, and the veterans as well. Today, we urge you to go forward with the full 8.7 mile and reject the 5.4 alternative because it's more useful to the working class, lower income community than to the interests of the wealthy. It is a vital for the entire 8.7 mile BOL to be implemented for the betterment of LA's transportation and set an example nationwide. Thank you.
Thank you. Kevin Ramos, Oscar Sanchez, Marie Mercado, Diana Peiwu.
Oscar Sanchez, thank you very much for having us. I've been living here in Los Angeles for over 30 years, and I graduated from Cal State LA, and I have to say, in part, the commute down there, down the carpool lane on the bus was very, very helpful. And I know there's a lot of students that take the 720 Rapid and depend on that to get to school, UCLA. And there's a lot of workers too. Let's reward them for keeping our air clean, because we all breathe the air. Let's reward them by reducing the amount of time they have to stand on buses and reduce the amount of traffic that everyone else drives through. Let's reward them for taking the bus. And let's reward our veterans. This weekend is Memorial Day weekend, right? Let's reward them. They have to get to the hospital there. Let's shorten their commute. I hope you decide to allow a bus-only lane going down all the way.
Thank you. Marie Mercado, Diana Peiwu, Dennis Hyman, Maria Elena.
Okay, good afternoon. My name is Diana Wu, and I'm a professor at Antioch University, Los Angeles. The students that go to my university are a lot of them adult students. They're people who have worked. These are like their second jobs, their third jobs, and they come to school, and they're raising families. And so many of them take the bus to school. Many of them come at 7 p.m. and finish at 10 p.m. Others of them work on the weekends and work long hours so they can come to school during the day and during the week. And so for them, these buses are a major component of their lives and make their ability to make their family life better and also to attend school and better their own lives. In addition, I'm the director of the Urban Communities and Environment Program at Antioch, and of the 24,000 people traveling in cars on Wilshire every day, 10% of them are expected to get out of their cars and onto the bus because of the time savings from the commute hours. That translates into an estimated annual reduction in 88 tons of carbon emissions and 10,000 tons of criteria pollutants. This is an important part of a greenhouse gas emissions reduction strategy for LA. Thank you so much.
Dennis Heinemann, Maria Elena, Maria Placencia, Blanca. Okay, go ahead.
Hi, I'm Dennis Heinemann. For a very small amount of money, $40 million, the anticipated increase in ridership is equal to what the Crenshaw line is anticipated to have. This needs to be looked into much greater extent for the other bus lines, the Rapids. New York City is, in fact, going this direction because they don't have the room or the money for more rail lines. It would be helping more if we had off-board payment system to speed it up even more. There is really no alternative at this point. We're not going to have a subway for at least 10 years, and we should be working on increasing the capacity of the street lines, and that would be through the bus line. So for the longer the better for the line.
You got it. Thank you. Maria Elena, Maria Placencia, Blanca. Is Blanca here? Okay, Nancy Friedman. Nancy here? Is it Friedman or Frodman? Friedman? Okay, I didn't. Okay, thank you.
I was going to say good morning, but good afternoon.
Hang around much longer, it'll be good evening, huh?
I'm from the Brentwood Community Council. CEQA requires environmental review of a project's foreseeable future impacts. Metro subway project contemplates a stop at the VA. No study or disclosure was made of the impact of narrowed sidewalks on a foreseeable increased number of subway and bus riders and pedestrians. Between Barrington and Federal, there are two medical office buildings frequented by people in wheelchairs, 9 mature trees, 6 bus benches, over 60 children waiting from the high school every afternoon in a driveway and a little bit of sidewalk. There must be an EIR studying the impacts of narrowing the sidewalks. Alternative A1 omits 3 segments from the bus lanes west of Beverly Hills, which the EIR says will require aggressive police enforcement, which is not possible in view of the staff and budget. The result will be a hazardous and confusing for vehicles. You are literally throwing pedestrians under the bus if you take away the sidewalks. Thank you.
Thank you. Raymond Klein, Nancy Lawrence, Constance Bukidas? Yes.
Raymond Klein, Brentwood. We support Alternative 2 and oppose Alternative 1, which requires narrowing sidewalks from Barrington to Bonzel. This degrading of the quality and character of our sidewalks is physically and legally impossible. It violates the transportation element of the city's general plan, the Brentwood Palisades Community Plan, the Community Design Overlay District, the Federal Disabilities Act, and most importantly, CEQA, because the sole focus of your EIR was travel time for buses, and the required study and disclosure was not made of the traffic safety, land use, aesthetic, social, and air quality impacts of narrowed sidewalks, alternatives to narrow sidewalks, possible mitigation or impacts on the Wilshire businesses or streets of Brentwood. Neither we nor you have seen drawings of what the reconfigured street and sidewalk would look like. They're hiding the ball. The required disclosure and opportunity for public review and comment have been absent from the process. And anything you approve today, your staff report says that upon all approvals and FONSI, then of the board and responsible agencies, then the staff will file the notice of determination. If you file a notice of determination because you have an approval today, you're violating what you say in your own staff report.
Thank you. Nancy Lawrence, Constance Bukitis, if I said that, I apologize. James Spears, Max Gutierrez.
Yes, my name is Nancy Tu. I live in Brentwood, and I'm a proud member of the Bus Riders Union. I came here to speak for the people of Brentwood and Beverly Hills who support, who are against the bus only lane, who are for the bus only lane and against the subway to the sea. I live right next to Barrington. I had to walk down and get on that bus, and it slows up, especially during rush hour. I had to take a sick person to the doctor who's blind on her eyes. I also used to live in one of these tall buildings on the Wilshire Corregidor. The Marie Antoinette, my uncle was an architect. He built that building. So at one time, I enjoyed those that privileged life. But I am now here standing. There are poor people in Brentwood. I'm one of them. And there are other people who are sick and elderly. They need that full project of the bus only lane. Don't cut any of it.
Thank you. Constance, are you here? James Spears, are you here? Mark Gutierrez, are you here? Okay. Francisca Orchis? Okay. Abilene Pablo? Orsidi Orozco? Jose Estrada? Wow. Saren Sentaihu Silasio? Huh? You here? Ah, we're waiting for you. Come on. I apologize. I probably butchered that name. I apologize. Arnold Sachs? I know he's here. Clifton Moore?
Good afternoon. My name is Sentaihu Silasio. I'm from Los Angeles Taxi Workers Alliance.
I wasn't even close, huh? I wasn't even close saying your name, right?
You're okay. Some of you might wonder why taxi workers are concerned about the buses. And I've been to New York after 30 years, and I see all yellow all over the place. Because whenever people get out of their car, our business gets much better. How can I put it in the wealthy areas? Normal. It's normal. 710 freeway have been stopped for so many years. Now, Condo Canyons area, they don't want the buses around there. But a lot of people from Midtown go there to clean their houses, to work as a doorman, bellman, and nannies. It's really important so they can raise their children, spend time with their children if you give them faster time. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Arnold Sachs, then Clifton Moore, then John Walsh, Morgan Wynn. I already called Morgan, right? Okay. And then Damian Goodman.
Yes, thank you. Good afternoon, Arnold Sachs. Wow, it's hard to believe that it's almost the finish line in sight. So maybe by the year 2020 or 2120, this Wilshire Rapid Bus Line will be operating. But I do have a suggestion. You could add more dips to Wilshire, increase the speed of the line, and market it as an alternative, affordable alternative to Disney or Magic Mountain. By the way, can you smell a lawsuit here? At FART, Fixing Angelinos Rotting in Traffic, we recognize here maximum funding expenses, maximum expenses to create another gap in another transit system, because that's what you're doing if you don't complete this Wilshire Rapid only bus line. You have the gap at the downtown connector that could have been built. Now it's $1.2 billion. You'll have the gap at the Crenshaw line between Crenshaw and Wilshire. And now you have a gap on the Wilshire Rapid only bus line.
Thank you, Mr. Sachs.
That's just a gap between your ears.
Clifton, Mr. Sachs, I'm going to give you a warning. You don't want to go on that do not speak list, do you? Mr. Moore, then John Walsh, then Damian Goodman.
Good afternoon. My name is Clifton Moore. I'm a member of the Bus Riders Union and a veteran, honorably discharged several times. I'd like to make it clear that as a veteran and a bus rider, I'm in full support of the Wilshire Bus Only Lanes project. I understand that there are special interest groups who would like to cut short the services afforded veterans by the implementation of this bus, of this lane. So we're calling upon you, city council members, and the MTA board to support us veterans by accepting the full project. Very obviously, it's not just a bus rider issue. It is a veteran issue as well, as many of us traverse Wilshire in an effort to find employment, get to and from our employment, and the VA hospital, 500 building. We have a I'm out of time. But anyway, we ask your support for us veterans here, and we thank you for your time. Have a great
day.
Thank
you. Thank you for your service to our country. John Walsh, followed by Damian Goodman.
John Walsh, blogging at HollywoodHighlands.org. The only alternative that is not racist is alternative A. I must apologize for a lot of my fellow white people, those rich old white people who don't want to minorities getting off at their bus stops at Condo Canyon. They had to leave. They're at a tea party at their country club. And that will be followed by a hot bridge tournament. I know white people. Now, people say, John Walsh, you're white. Why do you call people other white people racist?
Just sort of address your comments this way. Thank you.
My head must always be facing him. The reason that I am always calling other people, other white people racist, was in a previous life, I was black. This is a demotion.
Thank you. Damien?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I wasn't planning on speaking on this item, but after the lecture we got this morning from Supervisor Sklowski, I felt I had to. Bus-only lane that's going to take parking, take access for lots of businesses between the VA in downtown, except in Beverly Hills, except in Condo Canyon, except in Santa Monica. There's no consistency there. I'm not talking about the benefits or the drawbacks of the project, but I do want to point out that the project was in the 2001 LPA, Long Range Transportation Plan, and it was the only thing Wilshire was supposed to get. The only project Wilshire was supposed to get. Bus-only lane on Wilshire, light rail on Expo. Today, Wilshire has not just a bus-only lane, they have a much more expensive subway. And yet when South Los Angeles comes to this board to ask for a safety improvement for a rail line, based on our past experiences, you want to know what our contributions are? What our match is? The 103 lives that have died to the blue line. How much more blood is necessary before we get the same treatment that Supervisor Yourselowski just gets?
Thank you. Tracy W., I understand, is back in the room. I can't read the last name. I apologize. I can't, so I don't even want to try it.
My apologies, and thank you very much for recalling me. It's Tracy Wolin. I manage one of the high-rise condos in the Wilshire Corridor. I've spoken with many of the other managers. Long story short, go A1.
Wow. I'll call you again, Tracy. No, just kidding. I'm going to have John Walsh's time. All right. If I could collect. Mr. Wiesars, you have a question, sir. Go ahead.
Thank you very much.
Microphone, please.
Thank you. I just wanted to clarify that in City Council there was a very spirited debate on whether it should be the full line or what other alternative to look at. I don't think at that time there was a consensus, but it was my sense that it could go either direction in terms of what alternative to go by. I know there was a lot of interest in seeing the full route, the 8.7 continuous bus lane. Why are you recommending the A1, a truncated project, as opposed to a full bus lane?
We're recommending alternative A1. There, as we've gone through the environmental process, we have had comment in the Selby to Comstock area. It is a residential area. Alternative A1 comes close to providing the length of bus lane. We basically have a bus lane benefit of about a minute to a minute and a half per mile speed improvement. Alternative A1 is about 7.7 miles. The full alternative is 8.7 miles, so we do come close to achieving the